Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can come and worship you and praise your holy name. And Lord, we just pray this morning you be our teacher and that you open up our hearts and just anoint each person of the Spirit to receive the things of the Spirit. And I pray you anoint me that I'd only speak things of the Spirit, Lord. So we just thank you for your word, that you'll reveal things to us we would never otherwise know. So we praise your holy name. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:7, just for a little information if you want to prepare for the next couple of months. We're going to be pulling things out of 2 Corinthians, not systematically, but just pulling different things out and just covering some things the Lord's laid on my heart. So this morning we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:7. 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says this: "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." It's a powerful verse. And how many of you sometimes you just feel like a jar of clay? Sometimes not even a very good jar of clay, you know? And just you know, it's like, gosh, I don't feel like having strength, I have any power, I don't feel qualified. Just all sorts of things. And so I'd be surprised if some of you hadn't felt that sometimes or a lot of the times. But then the Lord gives us a little insight that he says, okay, we have this treasure in jars of clay. He calls us what we are. He says, you are a jar of clay, by the way. That's who you are. But you have this treasure in this jar of clay. Why? Look what the word says, to show. To show. There's a purpose that you have this treasure in the jar of clay. And it's to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So there's a surpassing power at work in this world. There's surpassing power at work in us, in this earthen vessels, and it's in us as an earthen vessel. So when the power comes out, we go, oh, wow, that was the Lord doing that. See, it's to show God's power. And so this earthen vessel is really an avenue for God's strength. An avenue for God's strength. And so he's telling us this information that's to be encouraging. And sometimes we get confused like this, as well, we have this treasure. Well, what is this treasure that we have in this jar of clay? What is this treasure? Well, the Bible is real faithful. It tells us what this treasure is. Okay? In Colossians 1:27, it says this: "This is a mystery, which is in you, Christ in you." This is a mystery, which is Christ in you. So the treasure in us is Christ in us. That's the treasure. So we have this treasure, Christ in us, in a jar of clay to show forth the power of God. God wants to show forth his power through us. And so he lives within this jar of clay. And so I thought I put something up here so we could think about us, ourselves. So here's a nice picture of us. Okay, it's a jar of clay. Okay, most of you look better than this. But anyway, this is what God says. We're a jar of clay. And in this world, God is releasing his surpassing power through jars of clay. That means through individual believers and the church. That's how he's doing it. You know, you ever think, oh, God, I just wish you'd show yourself. You go, I am. And it's through you. It is through you. That's what he's doing, and he's telling us that. So he's given some good information here. He wants us to understand what's happening. And so what we look at is weaknesses, what we look at being really fragile, God looks at just a really big opportunity to reveal himself. That's his vision of it. So God has to use jars of clay, because if he didn't use jars of clay, we would say, look at me and how good I am. But when it's a jar of clay and he works through us, we go, oh my goodness, that must have been the Lord done that. See, and then he gets the credit. Also, if we're just looking like we've got all this stuff together, people are drawn to the jar of clay. Let's worship this jar of clay. Let's follow this jar of clay. They've got their act together. It says, no, but when we realize it's a jar of clay, we realize that, no, it must be God manifesting himself through that jar of clay. Therefore, we are drawn to God because God works through jars of clay. Amen? Does that make sense? So God is really revealing some things to us here, and it's just really powerful. And so when we think like that, and we start processing information like that, as the Lord has told us, what happens here is that every difficult situation that we can't handle, ever ran into any of those? I just can't handle this. What is it? It is a divine opportunity. It's all a divine opportunity. Why, this jar of clay can't handle it, but you ever see anything God couldn't handle? See, so God's in the jar of clay. So all difficulties are divine opportunities. So your mindset totally starts changing as you start looking at this. Amen? I mean, that's a little bit overwhelming. That's a little bit overwhelming, but that's how God is looking at us. He is trying to get us on the same page that He is, so that we can be open to receive all the things He's given us. All right? So that's what He's teaching us here. Now, what I'd like to do is that I'd like to use, it's always good to have an example, you know, a physical example. And what we have in the Old Testament is a lot of physical examples. That we have the fulfillment in the New Testament, you know, spiritual fulfillments like this. You know, God has given this great treasure in jars of clay, but it's kind of a physical analogy, but He's telling us of the spiritual kingdom. But in the Old Testament, He'll actually give us physical pictures of what He's doing so that we as physical beings can get our hands around and say, oh, that's how that works. That's how that works. And so what I would like to do, I would like to give us talk about a jar of clay that God used in the Old Testament, and that maybe we can relate and understand a little bit of how He does work. And who we're going to look at is Gideon. Gideon, all right? And to see Gideon, the example of Gideon, we're going to see God's treasure working in a jar of clay. In a jar of clay. So let's just kind of walk through this. And again, make this very personal. Very personal. And it's because we want to walk out of here with a renewed understanding of God working through us in His surpassing power. And it always makes us, He didn't say power, He said surpassing power. Surpassing power. Well, first of all, it's helpful when we look at a situation like that. With Gideon, we see God's hand in the midst of difficulties. You know what this means? That all of our difficulties aren't accidents. You know, we think, I can't believe this happened. I just can't. But it's just an act. Just, you know, why? You know, you ever had that one? Ever had that one? Well, God, what He shows us through Gideon, He said, wait a minute, I'm in all these difficulties. I mean, I know what's going on. And so we're going to look at Judges 6:1, where God shows the situation where Gideon is in. All right? And He says in Judges 6:1, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian. Difficulties. We'll call them Midian difficulties. You know? You can just walk out and say, you're having the Midian, aren't you? Yeah, okay, we're having some difficulties. Okay, so gave a hand into Midian for 7 years. These difficulties. So we have a situation where we see God in this situation of difficulties. They didn't just happen. They didn't happen. God was involved in the big picture of these difficulties and with Gideon. Now, so here you have these difficulties. But so you have these difficulties. Difficulties require a jar of clay. Okay, just think about that. Difficulties require a jar of clay to be used for God's purposes. In this situation, the jar of clay to be used is Gideon. Here are the difficulties. Okay, it's, oh my gosh, you know. So what do you do to solve the difficulties? You need a jar of clay. Well, the jar of clay in this case is Gideon. Look at this in Judges 6:12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. All right. Now, if any of you are familiar with the account of Gideon, Gideon is hiding from the Midianites. Okay, now that's him. Okay, he's like all the rest of them. He's like, yeah, this is bad. I'm just hiding from the Midianites. And he is thrashing wheat in a wine vat. Now we have to think, what is he doing that for? Well, what they'd had these big wine vats, and they'd crush the grapes, and they had kind of walls up around so you couldn't see. So he got in this thing and thrashed wheat so nobody'd see. He's hiding. I mean, they're starving to death, so he's got to thrash some wheat. So he's hiding, threshing wheat in his mine vat. Now that's Gideon, all right? He doesn't sound like Superman in this thing, does he? I mean, he's like hiding, thrashing wheat. And God appears to him, He says this. He's hiding, God says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And I don't know what he said, but I'm like, pardon? I mean, who are you talking to? You know, I'm the only one in this vat, but see? But look at this. What we see here is we see this view from God's view. We see Gideon from God's view. God called Gideon. God called Gideon, O mighty man of valor, this jar of clay. Now, Gideon, like us, usually does not see God. He sees the problem, right? I mean, y'all there? I mean, it happens. Look at the problem. God says, oh, you mighty man of valor. And we go, no, look at the problem. Look at Gideon. Judges 6:13. So this is God, Gideon's reply. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? I ask you, is that a memory verse for anybody? Oh, God, why has that happened to me? I mean, I quote that daily. Oh, God, why me of all people? God, have mercy on me. You know, like, why has this happened to us? Why has it happened to me? God, see? Well, this is, now you're all laughing with me, but I know what's going on with you. I know you've been there. I know you've been there, right? Amen? See? Because it's like, you go, what is this happening to me? So there's what Gideon. Now remember, too, what God has just called Gideon. Oh, mighty man of valor. Why is this happening to me? To me. Now, so we see this process. God is telling us. Here's this physical a picture of what's going on that we can have some understanding here. Now, so what we have here is God sees divine power working through this clay. He didn't say Gideon wasn't a jar of clay. He didn't say he didn't have things to worry about. He didn't say he wasn't in the vat. He recognized where he was and what he was doing. But if you look at this next verse in Judges 6:14, it says this. God sees the divine working through us, a jar of clay. See, when he looks at us, he sees the divine working. He sees what he can do. We see the problem. He sees what he can do. The problem is convincing us of what he can do. Not the problem. We see the problem. We're well versed in the problem. Because we can repeat the problem to God. Have you ever repeated problems to God? I've rehearsed multitude of problems to God. And then I will wait a while and I'll rehearse them to him. Like he didn't hear me the first time. Or see, I know my problem, so I'm rehearsing. So that God is, that's not the issue with God. The issue with God is he's saying, he's trying to convince us how he sees us. How he sees us. And so here in 6:14, the NIV says it. I like the way the NIV says it. It says, God says, go in the strength you have. You have some strength. Go in the strength you have. You got something going on. I mean, you're beating wheat. You got some sort of strength. Go in the strength you have. And he says this, am I not sending you? See, am I not sending you? So we kind of got this vision of how God is working with these clay vessels. These clay vessels. Now, Gideon is not convinced still. Have you ever got kind of a word from the Lord, direction from the Lord, you know, and you step out in it, and everything doesn't work out well? Ever happened that? Yeah. See, and then what do we say? Oh, God, thank you for this opportunity to succeed in this. You know, no, we go, oh, see, I know, you didn't do what you said. No, I mean, why did you put me out in this situation? I'm going to look back. God, I must have not heard you. No, this is wrong. See, so all we go back, well, that's what Gideon did. So now he said, God's called him a mighty man of valor. You know, it says, go in the strength you have had. And then Gideon replies, as we would often. And he says this, as Gideon, we focus on the weakness. Because there are weaknesses. There are weaknesses. I mean, jars of clay have weakness. So we focus. We're not foolish. We know this is a jar of clay that you can break. So we focus. It's not like we're deluded Okay? It really is a jar of clay. And this is what Gideon says in 6:15. Gideon said, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan's the weakest. I am the least." You got to be able to do better than me. You got to be. I mean, you got a whole nation. Not me. I'm the least. I'm the least. Now, what do we know? We're kind of building up. Says, I'm the weakest jar. You know, I'm the weakest jar in the kitchen. Okay, I'm the weakest one. So Gideon is communicating what he sees. And by the way, those facts he said are true. They're true. See, that's how we convince ourselves. We're not lying. No, I am the weakest. My clan's the weakest. You know, I don't have any heritage. God, what are you doing? See, so it's all true. It's all true. So that's not the issue with it. And so here we go. So God replies to him. So God tells Gideon again. I mean, he continues to tell Gideon. And I'm even going to skip out. And some of you know about Gideon put out the fleece and all of that. I mean, we just don't have enough time to go through him trying to talk Gideon into this, all right? But what he says here is God tells Gideon, and he tells us, the jar of clay, that God's surpassing power is going to be revealed and not our weakness. See, he's still threshing wheat. He says, it's not your weakness that's going to be revealed. It's my surpassing power. And you look at verse Judges 16, it says this. And the Lord said to Gideon, "I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites." The difficulties is one man. See, the key to this jar of clay is God says, "I will be with you. You're still a jar of clay. The Midianites are still there, but I will be with you." So when we look at difficulties, God doesn't say they're not there. You know, sometimes people, it's not really there. No, it's really there. You know, it's good to know they're there, all right? It's really happening. But what it is, God is saying, "I'm sending you in the strength you have. I will be with you." And so he's revealing that these difficulties are real. Even our assessment of the difficulties are real. But the key factor here is God will be with us. Now, what are we working on here? What are we working? Is we're looking at faith. We're looking at God revealing something to us and being out and stepping in faith. So, and I'm like, well, maybe, you know, if I had 14 or 15 people coming around saying, "Go, Wally, go, Wally, go, go, go." You know, but no, I'm just sitting here by myself, you know. It's like, okay, God, all right, but it's just you. And this doesn't look good. This doesn't look good. And he's, "No, I'll be with you." That's what you hold on to, because that's what a jar of clay is supposed to communicate, that it depends on God. See? That's the point. That's the whole point. See? So we can't have all this other stuff, because the point is we will trust God and God will reveal himself. That's the point. So that's the reason other stuff can't come around us. Amen? That makes sense? So here we got this great picture of Gideon. Now here's something. This is fantastic. Okay, now we're come on faith here, but we got revelation in the New Testament and that confirms this, but we're going to see something drastically dynamic happen. Drastically supernatural happen that's available to people. See, nothing has happened supernatural to Gideon yet. I mean, God talking to him, that's kind of cool. All right, that's cool. But he hasn't done nothing yet. He hasn't done one thing yet. And so we're still trying to get this process rolling here. And what happens when Gideon takes one step of faith, when he takes that step of faith, you know what happens? God puts Gideon on like a suit of clothes. Did you hear me? Gideon, all right, he takes that one step of faith, and God puts Gideon on like a suit of clothes. All of a sudden, God's in the jar manifesting himself. But Gideon had to take a step. Gideon had to receive. Gideon had to appropriate. That was faith on Gideon's part. Amen? Now, look at this verse. Judges 6:34 says this, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. Now, here's one of the little things in some of the Bibles, and you read in the footnotes. But here is the literal translation of this verse. The literal translation, "The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." It literally means the Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. Oh my goodness. The Spirit of the Lord clothed himself with Gideon. I mean, get it? He got in the jar. I don't know, maybe we'll put that. Jesus, the Holy Spirit got into the jar. All of a sudden, the whole dynamic changes because Gideon steps out in faith. Just a little step. He didn't go the whole way. If you read about Gideon, he didn't go the whole way. God continues to talk to him. He is a reluctant hero, Gideon is. All right, very reluctant. But it says as he steps out, just the thought of it, I love it. The Spirit of the Lord clothes himself with Gideon. And we know when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells us. We accept Christ and the Spirit clothes himself with us. He puts us on like a suit of clothes. So the Holy Spirit has us on like a suit of clothes. And it's like, and he's trying to tell us, man, you can do whatever I tell you. You can do whatever I tell you. Supernatural. And anything that comes about against you, don't worry about it. Because it's me there supernaturally working through you. If I can just convince you. It is there if I can just convince you. But we have this Old Testament picture here. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that super? Now, you think he's through. You think he's through. Okay, we've got it. And God's put us up here, and we're walking. How many of you ever said, you know, just God do something great with you, and you go in, oh, I just feel so happy and full of the Spirit, and you walk out, and another situation comes up, and you go, oh, gosh, I'll never live through this one, you know, or something. I mean, it's just one thing after another. It's just like, gosh, I need to appropriate what happened yesterday with today. You know, I mean, he's still there. Or it happens, it's, God, this is too much. I mean, you did really good there, but now you put me over here. This is too much. You ever done that? Just encourage you with the word. That is a normal work of God. Don't ever expect to escape from it. Because he's going to push you to that next stage. Because I'm thinking Gideon is shouting the victory. He's a happy camper right now. I mean, he's moving out. Things are happening. But now if you're moving in the power of God, then God has to really move in. And you want to see the surpassing power of God is present. God must reduce and get rid of all the natural resources and dependencies around us. He has to remove all our crutches. He has to move those things we depend on. He has to remove those things we trust in. Because if he doesn't, we'll trust in them. So he removes them, and then we have nothing but God. But we thought we had nothing but God then. But now we really have nothing but God. I mean, it's like this is getting nothing but God is going deeper than I thought. Because you really mean nothing but God, see? And so that's what he does to Gideon. He said, Gideon, no, I've got to do some more work here because I'm not going to get the glory. And look if you will in Judges 7:2. Now Gideon thinks everything's okay. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand. See, the people with you are too many, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me." Oh no, they'll say, all your people, they saved you. Oh, all your abilities saved you. Oh, all your resources saved you. All those things saved you. Praise Jesus, but it's good to have all those resources. Hallelujah, if I had this too, I could have also succeeded. But you know, that's good that you put all those things in the right places. No, you ain't got nothing but you. See, and then God gets the glory. See, he said, God, I have to remove this stuff. I have to remove this stuff or people will say, my own hand to save me. We did it. We did a good job. We worked hard and we gave God the credit. No, they're going to say, no, God did it alone. There's nobody else. You know what God does to Gideon? He takes his army of 32,000 men
and God reduces it to 300. Now, they're fighting the nation. They said it was almost, when the Bible describes it, it's like almost an infinite number of Midianites. I mean, they're like grasshoppers all over the place stealing stuff. You know, they're grasshoppers all over the place. And so he's got 32,000, which isn't much, but all right, we're going out. He said, that's too many. They'll say they saved themselves. I'm not going to get the credit. So he reduces the army to 300. To 300. Now, Gideon, you can go. Now, you can go. And guess what? Gideon whips the whole bunch of them. They're running off. They're killing each other and just scattering. All right? And guess what? They give God the glory. They give God the glory. And it doesn't say this in the book of Judges, but I'm kind of think they're thinking, you know, that was Gideon. You know, I hadn't seen him do nothing. You know, I mean, he's the least once of all of us. You know, there's nothing special about Gideon. How did that happen with Gideon? And Gideon's going, and it actually does say this. Gideon goes, it was the Lord. See, that was the point. It wasn't whipping the Midianites. It wasn't solving the difficulties. It was God being exalted. That's the point. God didn't even need Gideon to whip the Midianites. But he did need a jar of clay that could show forth God's power where God would get praise. That's a jar of clay. That's a jar of clay. So the New Testament sums it all up and says, your jar's of clay. He's thinking you read the Old Testament and can figure the rest of it out. But he just says, New Testament, you're a jar of clay. So Gideon, we see Gideon is great because of the surpassing power of God. Now, here's a little thing. You're going to drop this little note, real short sentence. This is a lesson on how God reveals himself. This is a lesson on how God reveals himself. This whole process he went through with Gideon. And you go, why is this happening to me? This is why. This is why it's happening. Because God is busy trying to reveal himself. Now, I want to just give you, just to reinforce it, just give you a quick little example. Go through another little example. But you can see the similarities, because the whole thing is us today, in this world today. Because we look at this world today, oh my goodness, it's terrible. You know, we're Gideon in the wine vat thrashing our wheat. It's terrible. They're going to destroy the kids. They're going to destroy the family. This is going to hell in the handbasket. Yep, it has been since Genesis, if you hadn't noticed. All right? And what he's trying to do is get a few Gideons out so God can show forth his power. God is not surprised about one thing. He's not. There's nothing surprising him. The only one surprised are us. Okay? And he's telling you, you shouldn't even be worried about it, because I want you to behave like Gideon. I want to put you on like a suit of clothes and do my work. But I got to get you in tune with who I'm telling you you are. See? So that's what he's telling us. So what we have, but just quickly, I'm going to go through Moses just so we can see. It's the same thing. We have Moses. We see Moses in the Old Testament, and most people see Moses in the Old Testament is the strongest, greatest figure in the Old Testament. He's the number one hero, okay, is Moses. But you look at Moses, and this is a side note, Moses called God and says, listen, I want you to go and lead the Israelites out. Do you know what he said? Somebody tell me what he said. Do you know what he said? He goes, I can't speak. I stutter. I don't know. You know what God said? I love what God said. He goes, who made man's mouth? Jeez. No, I don't know. He went, jeez. But anyway, but that's what Moses said. I can't speak. Okay. Anyway, so Moses gets through. He's leading the people out of Israel. And so he's leading the Israelites out of Egypt. He comes up to the Red Sea. And so the Egyptians are behind them, the Red Sea's in front of them, and the people are going, we're going to die. See, Moses is looking and says, oh, Moses, you can do it. Come on, me and you. Yes. Then they go, no, we're going to die, Moses, and it's your fault. You brought us here. What are you going to do now, buddy? See, and Moses is like, okay. You know, it's him. It's God. It's Moses and God. It's just Moses and God. And I'll quickly go through Exodus 14, 13, 16. I think you have a picture up there, but it says this. Moses said to the people, Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of your Lord. The Lord will fight for you. All right, right, Moses. Good one. Do you hear that, Martha? The Lord will fight for us, you know. And then he goes and says this, the Lord said to Moses, lift up your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the people of Israel go through on the sea is dry ground. Now what happened there? Moses, a jar of clay, lift up your staff. Lift up your staff. And that's all you can do. You can't do nothing but lift up your staff. And when you lift up your staff, I'll part the Red Sea. But I need a jar of clay to lift up the staff. I need a jar of clay. I don't need a jar of clay to part the Red Sea. I need a jar of clay to lift up the staff. I'll part the Red Sea. And we see Moses is a great man of God because he lifted up the staff. Amen? And so what we have here is this picture of Moses is a jar of clay revealed. He reveals the surpassing power of God. Overwhelming difficulties reveal jars of clay who depend on God. I didn't read that incorrectly. Overwhelming difficulties reveal jars of clay who depend on God. God only needs a jar of clay that will lift the staff. Then with that jar of clay, God will part the Red Sea. He just needs a jar of clay. God's doing well. He is doing well. He just needs a few jars of clay. He's doing well. See, and we have this picture of Gideon of trying to get us on the same page. We have the picture of Moses of trying to get us on the same page just so God can do what God did. And so we see this whole picture. Now listen to this. It's just as you process through this. Every Red Sea has a Moses. Every Red Sea has a Moses. Every Moses has a Red Sea. I never had any problems in my life. You know, who wants to be around them? Good grief. You know, I think he's self-deceived, you know, but he sure ain't doing nothing, you know. And so what we have here is that God is putting us in this whole world that's going on around us, and that jars of clay full of Jesus can part their own Red Sea. Jars of clay full of Jesus can part their own Red Sea. Now, here it is. We'll just bring it home. The question is, what about you? What about you? What about me? What about me? So, what about you? Are you going to be part of the fearful multitudes? By the way, there are multitudes of fearful people. Are you going to be part of the fearful multitudes? The whiners, the complainers. Did you ever see any whiners and complainers? Well, I mean, if you've heard me long, you know I whine and complain all the time. He's like, good grief. See, so, okay, are you going to be a part of the fearful multitudes, the whiners, the complainers? Or are you going to be a part of the faithful few, part of the solution? Part of the solution, the faithful few, part of the solution. A jar of clay which the power of God flows through. See, God wants to flow through. He just wants a jar of clay that trusts so he can flow through. See, our effort and our anxiety is not trying to do what God did, but it's to be a clay jar that God can flow through. That we'll take that first step and he puts us on like a suit of clothes. See, and we just stand there. As it keeps coming, we're taking that step and he keeps putting us on. And then he keeps flowing through. And then it's the surpassing power of God. Therefore, you're going to face God-like difficulties. It's going to be God-like difficulties. I mean, if I could fix it, you go, man, look at Wally go. He did that. Look at him. Look what he did. See? Now, when it's too big, you go, oh my gosh, I think he's done. He's cooked. It's over. You know? And it comes through and it's like, oh my God, God flowed through. And then it's a praise of God. You see what I'm saying? It's everywhere. It's in your life. It's everything. And God is the continual teacher. Amen? And see, here's the important point. God already sees it this way. He sees it this way. The problem is convincing us about who we are. That's the problem. You read the thing about Gideon. It wasn't, God never had a problem doing any of those things. It was, the problem was convincing Gideon. Gideon was the hang up. You look at Moses. Look at Moses. God was never the problem. Moses was the problem. Here, you're going to go and you're going to lead Israel out. Israelites out. The great hero of the Old Testament. He goes, I can't talk. You know? It's like, yeah, you can. I made your mouth. I mean, everybody's mouth. You can talk. And he finally had to get his brother Aaron. Listen, Aaron will talk for you. All right? He talks to everybody. Doesn't know nothing, but he talks to everybody. All right? So you can talk, talk through Aaron. You say, man. Because Moses, all right, we'll let Aaron talk. I'm not talking. See, the problem wasn't God. It was, the problem was convincing Moses of who he was. Now, at the end, at the Red Sea, Aaron's going, okay, you want me to talk about the over the Red Sea? He goes, and Aaron stepped back. I got this now. He figured it out. I got this now. And he stretched the staff and parted the Red Sea. But it took a while. It took a while. And Aaron never was the one called. Never was. Aaron was a big problem in the whole situation. But he had to use Aaron because Moses wouldn't step up and believe who God said he was. See? And so it's the same thing. It's consistent. You read through Scripture, you just see it over and over and over again. So hallelujah. Is it great who we are? God is calling us great men and women of God. That's his view. That's his view right there. Hallelujah. So we should stand up and praise him for that. I mean, hallelujah. Shouldn't we praise him for what God says about us? Now, as we close up, and we should be thinking about it. Look, I got John 3:16 up here. Because as a jar of clay, we release God by declaring our absolute belief in Jesus Christ, who gives eternal life. See, one of the things as a jar of clay in this world we need to do is proclaim Jesus. Say the words, proclaim Jesus, because this world does not want you to proclaim Jesus. Do you know who knows this is absolutely true? There is a being that knows this is absolutely true. Satan. He knows this is true, and so he'll use all his dominions and all his people for us to keep our mouth shut. Because he knows when we speak it, it's a power of God. He wants us to be quiet. So when you hear people, well, have your faith, just keep it to yourself. Don't share it. That is demonic. That's from the pit of hell. Because they want the word out. You want a bunch of people loose like Gideon and Moses? No, do not ever let them know who they really are. And Satan can't do anything to us except intimidate us and have us keep our mouth shut. So the first thing we do is we proclaim that Jesus is the Christ and we have eternal life to him. And you know, this is good news. You know, let anybody on any issue say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. All right? Amen. What do you think about this issue? I'll tell you what I think about this issue. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What do you think about this difficult issue? Well, let me tell you. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We release God. Don't get sucked into their foolishness. Amen? Does that make sense? I mean, it is simple. Don't get confused. Believe who God says you are. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. We're going to praise your name and worship and just praise you because you've done so much for us. You've called us out. We believed on you. Our sins are forgiven. And God, we're washed, cleansed through the blood of Christ. And you just say, you know, speak my word. Speak my word. That the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and we are forgiven. That is good news. Amen.